Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Do you anticipate the White Sox clinching today in Cleveland? Do you see any way at all, this thing stretches out beyond the weekend?
No. I don't think it's going to stretch beyond dinner, okay? I think this is going to be an occasion today. Cleveland is the place for Chicago sports fans to focus on beginning today until Sunday night, all right? You've got the White Sox going to clinch there today. You've got Justin Fields making his first start there on Sunday. It is the place to be. Joakim Noah says he could even go there on vacation if you wish.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen today. I have no idea that they're going to get this thing done. I would have predicted that this would have happened a long time ago. And unfortunately, I was wrong about that. So I hope so.
That ball's cracked into right center field. Straw is back at the wall. Hey, a good start. Tim Anderson rushes up the first run of the ball game, and the Sox have a 1-0 lead. If you're looking for omens, that is a shining one here in the first inning. And that ball is absolutely crushed. Man, oh man, Luis Robert makes it a 2-0 Sox lead in a majestic way. 1-2. That ball is annihilated. And another chance to bring him home. It's 3-0 Sox. It's a solo home run jackpot and a party in the dugout. In the air again, right field. Zimmer is back at the track. Oh, he did it again. Tim Anderson wants to do it all by his lonesome. And the Sox are pouring it on what looks more and more like clinch day. 1-2. Hendricks got him. And for the first time since 2008, Sox fans will see home playoff baseball. The Chicago White Sox are winners of the AL Central.
Go Sox, baby.
And Mully's happy.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What a marvelous turn of events. The White Sox show up. When you saw the lineup, you knew they were serious about clinching the thing. It was a good lineup, Tony. I'm talking about the first game.
The first game.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Excellent lineup.
Happy Friday, Mully. We made it to Friday. Oh. The Sox did it as we expected, yesterday in Cleveland. Yes, they clinch the AL Central title. First time in 13 years. A cause for celebration. Really liked the way they handled it. Really liked them taking care of business from the first. Hey, look, Tim Anderson. He was going to seize that moment. He was tired of waiting like everybody else. Went out, not once, but twice, homered. Sox are a different team when they home run, when they hit a home run.
Yeah, they hit a lot of home
runs. And you know, the celebration was perfect. I think it was the right mixture of relief, resolve, and looking ahead. They know that they're not done yet. And
yeah, there's more work to do.
There's more work to do.
There's no question about it. This is not the lone goal. This wasn't the aim of the season. And I'm going to be really interested because, you know, we're all starting to kind of throw the bouquets. Everybody's sort of, you know, bringing guys out for more applause and tip your cap. Here comes the crowd and take a bow for the love of God.
The victory lap.
What a wonderful person you are. What an extraordinary thing you've done. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, it's great. Let's celebrate people. But let's remember, you know, before we go crazy about everybody was right and every move was correct and everything they did, Tony La Russa was hired for one reason, and it wasn't to win the division.
Exactly right.
They'd have done that. It's what comes next that matters.
This is when his real work begins. They were going to win the division if they didn't change managers. I think we can safely say that this is a talent. This is a talent driven division title, and they were going to be the best team in the AL Central regardless of who was managing them. You change managers to get to the World Series. So, yeah, to get to this point, celebrate it, be happy with it. The victory lap is expected, and, you know, give them their due. There were a lot of people that, you know, questioned the moves,
sure,
as we did, but they aren't there yet.
Yeah, there's no taking a bow, and there's no demanding an apology, and there's no told you so until you get it done. So get it done, and then feel free to say all those things and to. I'm delighted that they won the division. Okay, it's been a while. I'm delighted they're in the playoffs 2 years running. I don't think that's ever happened.
No, it hasn't.
And I'm hoping that they now are going to have like a long run of success.
That's the idea.
That's the idea.
That's the idea, to sustain this and to be a consistent organization year in, year out, where you are competing. You don't need to proclaim that you are going to win multiple championships. I've always bristled at that idea. Win one and then talk about winning another. But to be able to get to that point, you establish a pattern of winning and consistency that I think is Atlanta Braves like, right? From the 90s, the White Sox will take that twice in a row, 2 years running now in the postseason. And it was a fun, it was a fun game to watch because of the home runs, because of the enthusiasm, and because they didn't mess around. They went out and they took care of business early, and then you just kind of waited and waited and waited some more. Like, is this going to get over yet? It's only seven innings, but it seemed like longer.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, there was a Craig Kimbrell moment, don't get me wrong, but it was fine. Everything was fine. What are you waving your hands at? Guy, like,
again, why would they use him in that spot? I mean, what are you doing? That made less sense than they've made in the past four or five times.
Well, here's why, though.
You want to know why?
It was a seven-inning game? Because it was a seven-inning game,
no.
So you got to pitch him in the fifth?
I mean, no. I think what happened was they got a lead. They hit the homers. They got the lead.
Yeah.
And then they set it up the way they wanted to clinch by design. This is the way we are going to go into the postseason. We're going to clinch this game the way we're going to win in October. We're going to go to Kimbrell, and he's going to pave the way to Hendricks. And Hendricks is going to be on the mound when we're winning a meaningful game. I think I understood
totally.
Well,
there might not be anything more than this if that's what they do. Sorry.
Wow! The champagne is not even dried yet.
Huh? Is that the blueprint?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely
not
true.
Not a good blueprint.
No, it's the blueprint.
Well, it's got to be the blueprint. It's not a good blueprint.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that Kimbrell should be the ninth inning guy and Hendricks should be the five or four out guy.
Can you do baby Dustin?
Can you do baby Dustin?
And complain about Kimbrell coming in the sixth?
Well, I'll save that for the first time Kimbrell in the seventh or eighth blows it for you guys.
Okay, Mr. Potty Pants. I love that nickname.
Was that Allen Robinson? Is that who he called?
Who'd you call that?
Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson.
Mr.
I love
Potty
that.
Pants.
I love that. Look, no.
Oh, I'm only a top five player paid in the wide receiver, and I dropped the ball, so now all of a sudden,
Don't get me laughing.
That was a borderline Dustin.
That was kind of both.
Higher pitched.
Yeah. No, look, in all seriousness, don't you think the White Sox, even though what Ozzie said is very interesting, and I know they have nine games now to experiment and do this and do that, but don't you think that they have arrived at the conclusion they're going to go into the postseason with this bullpen design? Get to the eighth. If you got a lead, go to Kimbrell.
It seems that way.
Have him build a bridge to Liam Hendricks.
Yep.
He's your closer.
Yep. Rick Hahn was on. I may have had to go pick up the kids, and I was listening to the radio for the celebration. He may have said, oh, hold on, I've got to hug our closer because Liam Hendricks was walking by, because you can hear the, I get well with my head. So he used the term closer.
That's awesome.
He didn't say anything.
He didn't say, guy. Oh, hold on a second. I got to go hug our setup
Andrew
guy.
Miller. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he has the designation in the mind of the GM. And, yeah, look, I mean, the White Sox, God bless them. They you know, they've been 500. We know that in the second half of the season. So they went out and they won a game to clinch the division, and then they gave away the second game, and they're back to 500 in the second half of the season. But that doesn't matter. I mean, Ozzie had the right plan. He just call in drunk, basically, right? Just go out, celebrate, party, take the forfeit, move on in life.
Well, for the second game, I think the outcome was irrelevant. But right. I don't think you want to treat this final week of the regular season like it's exhibition baseball time.
Right.
I don't think that you can afford to do that, especially given the way we started the show and what you reminded everybody of. Tony La Russa is here for a reason, and it's not just to win a division. It's to, number one, World Series or bust mentality, and number two, correct the wrongs of 2020. And what went wrong in 2020 was once they clinched a playoff spot, they exhaled and relaxed and thought, okay, we're done. Well, you can't be done. And even though these games mean nothing, They've got to build towards something, and you've got to have that intensity in the final week, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as I said, they have a big task in front of them, okay? And that's how they'll be judged. It won't be, oh, wow, you know, where were you on that wonderful day in late September, kind of a chilly day when the White Sox clinched. Did you drive to Cleveland? Those aren't stories that will be told, but you have a chance. You have a chance. So let's see what happens.
You got a chance.
And that's how everyone will be evaluated.
You get to go to Houston, a place that has been very kind to the White Sox in recent postseason history.
That's right. So, I mean, there's a texter saying I sound nervous. You're damn right, because nothing's been achieved. This is where it gets fun, and it's supposed to be fun.
What is fun? It's fun. Yesterday was tons of fun. It's fun debating over who should get the ninth inning in October.
Yes, it is.
Because they're playing in October. You know what the Cubs are doing? They're hosting John Lester tomorrow.
Right.
In a Cardinal uniform, right. Playing out the string. That's not fun.
Video tribute?
Probably.
Okay.
But what uniform will he be in? Nationals, Red Sox?
In the tribute?
Cardinals?
The tribute, he'll be in a Cubs uniform.
Okay.
Only in the tribute.
Does he get a tribute, though?
The trouble is, I don't know that Miller Lite flows at Wrigley Field. So I don't know that since that was the beer that he was
buying.
Since
he bought everyone a drink on the way out of town?
He was buying Miller Lite for everybody when he left town, and he had that really cool event where he was buying beer. What was that bar tab? Remember?
$58,000.
58?
Something like that.
Did you see that Portland State college football coach?
That was like $17,000.
That guy. Like $14K.
How much could he make?
He makes $190 a year.
Well, I guess.
And he's $14K. That's still a big bar tab.
That's a lot of money.
Could've yeah, I mean, money. Come on. But that's a nice gesture.
But don't you think
the school would have stepped in? $47,000 John Lester paid in bar taps.
$47,000
worth of beer.
Still a big beer.
It's pretty good tab.
What's the highest beer tab you've ever paid, Dustin? Didn't you offer to buy Jimmy Garoppolo one for $1?
Well, that's what they thought. Unfortunately, that place is no longer in business in Elmhurst.
Aha. Uh-huh. See?
I see
the connection.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe Jimmy's still in business, Dustin.
See what you did there?
All of us are looking forward to Bears Browns on Sunday. Dustin's looking forward to Jimmy Garoppolo falling on his face on national TV.
Molly just teed me up on Ryder Cup Friday, so I decided to swing and not miss.
Forgot it was Ryder Cup Friday, by the way.
Well, yeah.
How could you forget?
I spent a half an hour getting the TVs lined up.
I spent a half an hour trying to get the TVs in this joint lined up so we could watch it at 7:05.
Thank you.
It's right there in front of you, in case you didn't notice.
Yeah, I noticed.
I was too busy watching Appalachian State reruns. Appalachian State and Marshall on the screen. By the way, I was locked in for a good two quarters last night of Panthers-Texans.
See?
Locked in.
I came in this morning and told David how frustrated I was when after the Sox were over, I went searching for the football game, and I realized, I don't have the NFL Network. I'm sure, Dustin, you had the same embittering time.
The good news was 670 The Score had the game. So I spent the first half of that game on 670 The Score listening to that game.
Well,
unfortunately, David, though, I bet a couple of dollars on the Prop Kings prop bet, and Anderson had one whole catch in the game. So
that I noticed
was a
that. Yeah,
loser.
I didn't watch it because I had anything invested.
You know what that is? That's called karma for rooting for the Europeans today in the Ryder Cup. So then then your prop bet goes right down the drain.
This is half man, half espresso. That's who you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. He got Dustin in a bad mood yesterday, rooting for the Europeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was locked into Texans, Panthers. Sam Darnold, pretty good. Matt Rhule, good coach. They're undefeated, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
Tough night for the Panthers.
Let me know what happens.
Okay.
Maybe my cable network can get the bloody NFL network. Did I taunt you when
Marquee, I'm not taunting.
When Marquee was out?
I'm telling you.
Told you when I came in my frustration, and you just brought it up.
After watching Michael Kopech, I wanted to switch to football, and I wanted to watch
a little. Barry in the lead.
Well, we're going to get to that.
We're going to get to that?
Because
clearly the folks at 35th and Shields listen to this program, clearly.
I don't want you to strain anything taking a bow, though, because I was kind of waiting to get to that until you're fully stretched.
Happy to take a shot of Toradol for that one.
Something might snap. Yeah, okay. Unlike last week, Eddie Goldman put together 2 days of limited participation.
That's the good news.
That is a step forward.
That's the good news.
Akeem Hicks didn't practice.
That's the bad news.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's not good at all. And I think we know where the Bears are at in terms of their quarterback. We're going to be evaluating the play caller, the system, all those other things. Should be a lot of fun. And we'll make our picks and all the rest of it to see what happens with the Chicago Bears this weekend.
Great weekend ahead. I mean, already we're talking about Sox Astros. We're reveling in their title yesterday. You're looking ahead to Justin Fields' first start. You got Notre Dame, Wisconsin at Soldier Field on Saturday. John Lester pitching for the Cardinals back at Wrigley Field. That's an event. So it is a cool sports weekend in Chicago.
And it is a cruel sports weekend because injuries happen all over the place. You saw it last night. Carolina dominated Houston, but they limped away from that game. That is never a good thing. And, you know, it really is true what supposedly was said to Vic Fangio on the sidelines in Jacksonville, that when you're in the NFL, you're playing Alabama every week. There is an element of that. And it is a dangerous, dangerous game and some very tough people participating in it. So we'll wish everyone good health. The Cubs play a doubleheader right here on the Score today against am I supposed to say the red hot Cardinals? I won't. I'd say the dreaded Cardinals.
They're hot, though. Cardinals. Jack Flaherty on the mound today.
They've won
the Cardinals.
12 in a row.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I mean, unbelievable. Why can't the Sox win 12 in a row?
Unbelievable what's going on in that division.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Thanks.
And then, of course, Saturday at Soldier Field. Wisconsin giving 6 points to Notre Dame. Come on.
Brian Kelly making history on the verge of passing Newt Rockne. That's something. I'm sorry. I know Joe Montana.
Notre Dame has the better Wisconsin quarterback, and yet they are not favored in the game.
I don't want the points. I don't need the points, but I'll take the points. Okay, Notre Dame wins that game.
I think you're right.
Straight out. Okay. And the Ryder Cup is about to start, so we'll get going on that. We've got so much to debate and talk about. We'll hit all the main stories. We've got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How relieved were you when the White Sox finally clinched the AL Central for the first time in 13 years? How would you describe the Sox players' on-field celebration after the final out in a 7-2 victory over the Indians? Who were you happiest for?
Yeah, you know, I was really pleased. I don't know if relieved is the right word. There was a part of me that was growing increasingly frustrated. I don't know if I expressed it well enough yesterday. But it was a very long wait to get this done, and then they finally got to it. And I'm not joking. I was talking to a friend of mine I think where they, how long have they been like around 20 games over 500? It was like they got to that point, whatever, 18, 20, and then they went to like 22 and then back to 19 and 18 and then to 20. They never like moved on that number. You know, all I wanted was to, for them to get 20 over and enjoy the season. I said that early on when they started to make their move. And I got the 20 over, but I never really got a chance to enjoy it because I thought that meant that they would just keep playing well. Listen, that you know, it's been a herky-jerky kind of in and out, stop-and-go type of season. I was pleased with the on-field celebration. I thought it was muted enough. I didn't want them to go absolutely crazy about it because this isn't the goal. The guy I'm happiest for is Jose Abreu. I think Jose Abreu, just watching him and what he represents and all the slings and arrows of outrageous torture that he suffered this year, his whole body is sore. I kind of enjoyed just looking at that guy and thinking about the legacy that he set. Because all these young players, you know, the Louis Roberts of the world, God bless them, they're going to be great players forever. They're going to be great players. They're going to have success. They're not going to go through what Abreu had to go through and what all Sox fans had to go through watching it, quite frankly. So it is wonderful that this has arrived. They should have won the division last year, but they made the playoffs. But I think that Abreu is the guy who symbolizes, you know, and Tim Anderson talked about it a little bit too, you know, from the time he came into the league to where they are right now. So, you know, yeah, I think the longest suffering White Sox player is Jose Abreu, and it made me really happy to see him enjoying the moment.
Yeah, I think so. Those are good. Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu, the guys who have been here when it was tough to be here. And I think the guys who have kind of grown through this rebuild, and it's been about 5 years. So I think Jose Abreu comes to mind. I was happiest, though. I mean, this sounds silly, but I mean, I was actually happiest for Sox fans who, like yourself, have been through a very angsty month or so, and it's been difficult. To answer your question, July 18th, they went 20 games over 500. Doesn't it seem like even longer? So they were 56-36 that day, and it seems like since that point, you're kind of like on cruise control, and they have, you know, been kind of a 500 team since then. So yesterday was dessert. They earned everything that they got. It was a great celebration. The right tone. I mean, it was relief without rejoicing. It was kind of satisfaction without that elation. Pride in a job well done and purpose for the bigger goals that remain. I mean, it was all of that in a nutshell on the field as it happened. So I felt like it was just a really good snapshot of a team that is defined by its resilience and their resolve, and they're not done yet. So happy for everybody, but especially Sox fans who finally can exhale and start to load up on whatever they need for the postseason.
Well, I'll say this. I was very relieved that it was over. One less thing on my plate after that had happened. I was following that very, very closely. I knew my Friday would be better than it could be. It could always be better. It could always be worse. But it was going to be better because the White Sox got it done on the field. Took care of business, first game. I loved that Tim Anderson hit a home run on the third pitch of the game. It just, he sets the tone. It did remind me of a special Cub player in my heart who hit a big home run in a meaningful at-bat to win a game and just set the tone. And as he goes, the Sox go, okay?
Who's that?
Come on, my guy.
Who's your guy?
You know, the Cubs MVP.
You go,
the
we
Cardinals
go.
Cardinals guy?
Yeah.
The Cardinals guy.
Well, I think now he's like out of baseball guy.
He just compared Tim Anderson to Dexter Fowler.
I did.
Yeah, that's a terrible comparison.
No, it's a great comparison. Tim Anderson should
actually
be honored.
I think he's right.
Tim Anderson should be
How
honored that I would put his name in the same sentence
Short
with Dexter Fowler.
He's the catalyst.
Right field?
The catalyst.
The straw that stirs the drink to a championship team.
It's Reggie Jackson.
They struck out straw to end the game. What the hell are you talking about?
What?
Scoreboard update.
Did the Cubs not win? I'm going to continue
they
my answer.
Struck out
I'm going to keep going on this.
Outfielder.
I thought the celebration on the field was absolutely lame. I think the Sox fans, who I'm agreeing with you, David, I think that's who I feel best for today. Because I'll tell you what, it's really cool
to go to a home playoff game and to not have had one of those since 2008. Yeah. I know other cities have not had one for much longer time and bigger droughts, but it is cool. I mean, I'm sure I won't be invited to any of those games, but if I was, I would go.
What was lame about it? What didn't you like about the kind of business-like approach to the hugs and the handshakes?
I wanted a little more jumping around, and I wanted to see some Budweiser, and I wanted to see what Tony would do if he was presented with one and all that kind of stuff.
I was just glad Aloy didn't get hurt in the celebration.
Aloy didn't get hurt. That's a good point.
Jeez.
All right, Ray.
He hit a homer.
Scoreboard update.
Back off. From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I am Dustin Rhodes, and here's what's happening. Yes, the White Sox are indeed the AL Central champions, and they will host a playoff game for the first time since 2008. The White Sox hit four home runs yesterday, two of those from Tim Anderson. Bears injury report. Well, the good news was Eddie Goldman practiced for 2 days in a row. Bad news, Akeem Hicks did not. Bears are a 7-point underdog with a total of 45.5 per our friends over at Bet Rivers. Thursday Night Football, Panthers improved to 3-0, 24-9 winners over the Texans. The Cubs will play host to a day-night doubleheader over at Wrigley Field. They're taking on the Cardinals. Justin Steele throws game one. Zach Zabin's pregame right here on the Score starts at 12:45. Saturday, Soldier Field, Wisconsin, a 6-point favorite against Notre Dame. And the 43rd Ryder Cup is about to get underway in Wisconsin with the Friday foursomes. And WNBA playoff news, the Sky 81-64 winners over the Wings from Dallas. The Wildcats host Rutgers, Iowa, Purdue, and more this fall. Buy the tickets, nusports.com.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
Now that the White Sox have clinched the AL Central and made the playoffs 2 years running, who should take a bow this morning? Who do you want to credit for the success this team has achieved? Is it too early for bows and bouquets?
Well, I think it probably is a little bit too early to get too carried away because, as we pointed out in the first segment, that Tony La Russa was brought here because of the World Series or bust reality and mentality that this season represents. But obviously, they win a division. You do something for the first time in 13 years, and you're going to assign some credit and start to divvy up, you know, who did what, when, and why. Rick Hahn started this 5 years ago. I think the minute they traded Chris Sale, whatever compelled him to do it, whoever he had to get to agree with him, that was when this all began. And it was a heck of a five-year plan. And so that started it, and then you go out and you make the deal for Aloy and Dylan Cease with the Cubs. Thanks, Cubs! You get Giolito, you get Ronaldo Lopez in a good trade as well. You make the trade in this past offseason for Lance Lynn. There are a lot of things that happened along the way. He's Moncada, Luis Robert. You had to sign them. That was shrewd. This was a project where the foreman, the baseball foreman, was Rick Hahn. And I think if anybody is at the top of a list of deserving praise this morning, it would be the guy that put it all together. So I would start there. And I'm not ready yet to give Tony La Russa, like, oh boy, this is why they won the division. Tony La Russa was here and this justifies everything. I don't think that he's the reason they won the division. I think they could have won the division if Ricky Renteria would have stayed. Now is when Tony La Russa's real work begins. So if we're talking about praise and congratulations this morning, to me, it starts with the architect, and that is Rick Hahn.
Yeah, I think that I don't think anybody really deserves any bouquets or any kind of taking of a bow. I don't think it's done yet. I think I am more than happy to give out applause and finery to any one of those people the minute they win the World Series. But I think when you establish goals, winning the division really should have been done a while ago. And it's not the proudest moment of the season. At least I hope it isn't. I think that you've got to get to this playoff series. We don't know who they're going to play. It could be Tampa Bay. You know, Houston, we talked about, can the Sox catch Houston? They were only like a game behind them. Houston is breathing down the neck of Tampa Bay. And don't those teams play each other? So that's really interesting to me that you could conceivably have a different opponent than you thought, be heading in a different direction than you thought. I'm all for the White Sox. I think bully for everyone. It's been an incredible season where all the guys that were down on the farm came up and contributed at different points, and you're not in the situation you're in now unless that happened. But now it's about getting the strength of this team together and making sure they're at full strength and playing their best baseball when the playoffs begin. If that happens, then I'll tip the cap to everyone. I'll say, Tony La Russa, what, Jerry, you're a genius, greatest hire in human history. Tony, you still have it, buddy. You are the man. Rick Hahn, I'm glad you stuck around even though your power was usurped. I think that you put this team together and you deserve to watch them win here, regardless of whether the owner swept in and hired a manager out from beneath you. Whatever it is, congratulations, all of you. You figured out a way to make your dysfunction functional, and I'll be the happiest man in America.
I agree that Rick Hahn deserves some accolades this morning. Also, the fact that the White Sox made the postseason 2 years running, that's a thing. And that's sure. that's a building block. I mean, they that is something else they had talked about during this rebuild, that they were looking to build something that could do something consistently and not just go on a one-year run. Even though you would take the one-year run being this year, but the fact that they got in the postseason last year, it didn't work out, so they made a move. They fired the manager. They changed up the roster a little bit. So definitely, where is, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I want to state that before you, what is Kenny, before we, all the texters yeah. and other 35th and Shields people assume, like, where is Kenny Williams in all of this? Because he's really been like behind the scenes.
By choice, I think.
I mean, how involved is he with Rick?
Take about Kenny.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, when the Cubs had the success, we had the Theo Jed thing going. And a lot of it was Theo, but Jed was also getting quite a bit of accolades as well. And I just wonder how involved is Kenny. Does he not really do much?
Well, no, I think he's pretty involved. I think he just has chosen for what the reasons that, you know, I think people should respect. I mean, he just wants to stay out of the way.
Okay. And I would also like to say that I still think the first game celebration was lame, but I am starting to see some video on social media now. I'm watching one from Goose Island. The White Sox celebrating was from Fresh 312 that I'm enjoying seeing right now. That's the type of celebration I wanted to see after game one. Like Ozzy said, who cares about game two? You had an hour between the game. You get a new dry uniform and you put some beer in a cup and you drink it while you're sitting on the bench.
The most asked question should be,
after a very, very interesting outing as an opener in the nightcap, Michael Kopech gave the White Sox something to think about for the playoffs, especially if Carlos Rodon isn't healthy. Would you adjust your thinking at all about either Kopech or the Sox in the postseason based on Kopech's start Thursday?
You know, it's interesting because Rick Hahn said that they wanted to get him as many appearances as possible, up to 3 appearances in the final 10 days in order to get him built up to go as many as 3 innings. So he said multiple appearances of multiple innings. And the idea is that they want him to be able to go 3 innings when they get to the playoffs. Unfortunately, that tells me that there is real trouble in paradise with Carlos Rodon, that they realize that Kopech is not going to be able to help them, and there is trouble in paradise with Carlos Rodon. They don't quite trust Ronaldo Lopez, so they're now in a bullpen game, and the opener is going to be Michael Kopech, and they want to get 3 innings out of him and then see how he's pitching and maybe stretch it. So he comes out yesterday, he strikes out the side, right? All 3 guys, he mows them down, and then he is hit, and they get 3 outs in the second inning. So I think he got the first 2 outs and 9 pitches or something. So it's like, oh, his pitch count's doing okay, but no, we don't need a 3rd inning from you. That's enough. We just wanted to open the game, and you are the opener. And then they went to Mike Wright. I think that this is part of a larger plan, and I think it is a larger plan that has been necessitated by the decline of Dallas Keuchel and the injury fear with Carlos Rodon.
More so probably with the Rodon injury.
Much more.
I think that they were pressed into this sort of thinking. And I have to admit, I have come around on this after Dustin suggested it a couple days ago. I think conceptualizing it and then seeing it happen, two different things. I mean, in theory, I didn't like it maybe at first because of what it represented in terms of, you know, it does represent kind of going away from Rodon and preparing for not having him, and I think that's not good for anybody. But then seeing Kopech go out to the mound, starting a game, only going two innings because that's all they needed. I think they wanted to get him into the rhythm of doing that, warming up in the bullpen, coming in, starting a game, going a couple innings and looking like he did. My goodness sakes. If that's the alternative, I don't know that you need to worry about, you know, a drop-off. This is something that, okay, you take him out of the bullpen to do that, but it could be real effective if you're looking at a game four scenario, depending on what the stakes are, and you like a lot about what you saw. You know, he's somebody that they have to be very careful with. He's only pitched 61 innings this year, and yet you want to be very careful with not overusing him or making sure that he is functioning at a high level and healthy when you do turn to him. But I think yesterday was a glimpse of what he could be as a weapon in October, and what a weapon to use.
Well, of course, I think it's a good idea because I suggested it, and thank you guys for listening over there at 35th and Shields. But the problem is, if you really think it out, is do you want to have to like hold that guy in your back pocket? Because if you are worried that you need him for an opener, that means you probably can't use him in game one or game two in the sixth or seventh inning, right? I mean, you can't. Is that correct? I mean, that's the next question that needs to be asked. Like, if you're doing that, does that mean that you're just, and you're hoping that in a five game series you don't need an opener, depending on how it all gets laid out? Like, we know when the ALDS is going to start. We know that date, but
right.
I don't know how spread out it gets.
Okay.
My point is, would Lynn be able to go if it goes to four games? Would Lynn be able to go? Would he get two starts in a potential four game series? I would think the answer to that question is yes. And then if you're sitting there with Kopech not throwing at all, just in case we need an opener, I don't know how great that is. But the idea that you could use him in a seven-game series for an opener, that I like. I don't like the idea of putting him in your back pocket, per se, with a five-game series.
ALDS games 1 and 2 are Thursday, October 7th, Friday, October 8th. Then there's a day off, all right? Saturday is the NL game 2s. And then on Sunday is October 10th, and Monday, October 11th, are games 3 and 4. So you do have a day built in there for rest, but you're right. I mean, that's a concern.
Would you turn Lynn around that? It's a quick turnaround for Lynn to throw game four.
If he throws Thursday, could he throw Tuesday?
No. No, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that either. That's why I would say I would
but
have
if the
Kopech
series,
ready.
If the series was on the line, would you be okay with an opener? You were down. If you were down going into game four.
Yes, if it's Michael Kopech, I would. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely
but
true.
But that's what's so funny. A day ago, this was a dumbass idea, and now all of a sudden, because
seeing is believing,
did,
no. Dustin.
Right, but that's the
seeing
point.
Seeing is
putting
believing.
Him out there to see if he could do it. You're gonna. I'm just saying. It just sounds wild to me that if your season was on the line, you would do an opener with Kopech.
But the thing is,
well,
don't we both agree if Carlos Rodon is healthy, he's your game four starter,
exactly.
And that would feel much better about
He might be if he's healthy. He'd be a game three starter.
Yeah,
I'm struggling how to answer that one.
Did winning the division vindicate Tony La Russa, who had his share of critics, or Jerry Reinsdorf, whose meddling led to the firing of Rick Renteria and hiring of La Russa?
No. I think we have covered that a little bit, but I think there will be a temptation for people to say, hey, look at us now. This is why we did this, and look at all you haters out there. No. Okay, Tony La Russa was brought here for one reason, it was to win the World Series. Congratulations, you won a division. You have sustained success 2 years in a row. You're back in the postseason. But whether it's Jerry Reinsdorf suggesting that yesterday and talking to a pool reporter, or any sort of suggestion today in the aftermath that, okay, this was, you know, a sense of vindication, you'll be vindicated when you win the World Series.
Yeah, I want to finish answering his question because I think he misunderstands what we're saying here. I don't think using Kopech as an opener is the end goal. I think if Carlos Rodon can go two or three innings in the playoffs, then you go three innings of Kopech. In other words, you could match him up with another pitcher in order to get an outing. Just because he goes three innings and you're trying to do that for the rest of the year, doesn't mean that you have to start him in a game. It means that you could be stacking some players in games. So I think when I say they're worried about Rodon, I think they need someone to sort of combine with him to get through a start.
I think that's a good point. Also, I wonder, do you think, though, that if they are comfortable with Rodon as a starter, they would use Kopech as a reliever in the first two games
no
if necessary?
Question. Okay. No question. And more than one inning,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen. Okay, back to this. Did winning the division title vindicate Tony Russo? I don't think he needs vindication. His share of critics, anyone could have been the manager to this point. What Tony La Russa is supposed to be able to do is figure out all the little bullpen things, is to develop a relationship with the pitcher, is give you the best bullpen in baseball, and we haven't seen it, and they've traded for that, and they've done everything they can. As far as Jerry Reinsdorf is concerned, I have no problem with anything. It's Jerry's team. It's his toy. He can do whatever he wants. I'm glad that Rick, if he was upset about it, Rick Hahn didn't leave because I think they were too close, and I think he should be able to see everything unfold in front of him. I think that Tony La Russa's done fine. I don't have a problem with it, but you didn't hire him to get here. You hired him for what's next. So let's see what's next. Let's see how they come out. Remember all the little errors and mistakes and the rule stuff that Tony didn't know about early in the season? All that's been worked out. He presumably knows who's going to be the guy talking to him in his ear and how he's going to bounce things off people. And presumably his relationship with Ethan Katz has gotten significantly better as they've worked together. So now let's see the great genius at work. Let's see what he does that makes us say, wow, that was one of the great managerial decisions ever. And when that happens, we'll give Jerry all the credit he has coming to him. We'll give Tony all the credit in the world. And we'll congratulate Rick for putting that group together. So that is, I'm all about rewarding people if and when they deserve it.
It does not vindicate Tony. I do think he's here for bigger and better things. But Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox had to do something. Like, there was no – Rick Renteria could not come back. And I just feel that when you own the team and when you've helped bring this city seven championships, Chairman, you get to do what you want to do. So we'll see if it pays off. But I think right now Reinsdorf looks pretty good with getting involved in air quotes meddling in all of this.
Well, that's a good question.
Are you picking the Bears to start stacking victories, or will they be a herky-jerky team all season? Do the Bears beat the Browns on Sunday in Cleveland, and can you please share your projected score?
Yeah, I feel that when we get to this point in the season, it's going to be more difficult than people imagine. I think it's going to be harder to win there than it was this week. I'm probably going to go 24-21. I did that last week, only I'm turning the tables. I think the Browns win this game, but I think Justin Fields gets a couple of touchdowns. I'll go 24-17. What is the spread? Seven?
Seven.
Okay. I'll go 24-16. I think the Browns are going to cover. Okay. So I think they can score some points, and I think they'll cover late.
Tough challenge for the Bears. I don't see them as a team capable of stacking victories. I don't think it's going to be that kind of season. I think it's going to be up and down and back and forth. And if you have a rookie quarterback, you should expect some of that inconsistency. On Sunday against the Browns, I'm not sure that Justin Fields is going to be the determining factor. I think he's going to have some high moments. We'll probably come out of it excited about his potential. I don't think he's going to be the guy that you say, oh boy, if he would have done this, they would have won. I think he takes a step forward in terms of his progress. But this is a good Browns team. I think running the football is where they will win the game. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are as good of a 1-2 combination as you have running the ball in the NFL.
And the line, the O-line's excellent.
The O-line's really good. So I think the Browns probably control it, and I just don't have the confidence in the Bears offense to score more than 24 yet because we haven't seen it. Now, if Matt Nagy, who I think this is a huge week for him, as we've talked about all week, maybe he gets it. Maybe he is the one who dazzles us on Sunday. But short of that, I don't think we can expect that. 24-20 Browns.
I'm going to quote one of my favorite guys when I give you this pick. I don't want the points. I don't need the points. I'll take the points. Give me the Bears, 23-20. Bears. If Roquan Smith is a $100 million player, this is his game to stop that running game. Now, he's going to need that defensive line in front of him, of course. So far, they have been keeping him clean, as they like to say. If Akeem Hicks can't go, now, a defensive tackle like Akeem Hicks, if he's got an issue with seasonal allergies and that's kept him out of practice, that's okay. He just needs to be a bad Wolverine, as we like to say, on Sunday afternoon in Cleveland. He didn't need to be there walking around in shirts and shells and talking his game and all that stuff. If he's there, I think they can stop that running game, and I think Fields will do just enough, and the Bears are going to win this game 23-20. So take the points, sprinkle a little money on the money line. When you're getting seven, that's going to be a nice payback. 23-20 Bears.
In light of all this, I'm going to change my pick. Instead of going 24-16, I'm going 24-13, since it's all on Matt Nagy, according to David.
Do you know who I'm talking about, Mully? Did you know who I was referencing there with the I don't want the points, I don't need the points, I'll take the points?
Yes.
Okay.
312-6.
Let's see if a good texter knows that.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.